Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Katie?
Yeah.
Any big news? Anything you want to tell me?
Any big news? Well,
I'd like to get a Katie update before I begin the show, so I need to get in the right frame of mind.
I mean, it's Wednesday, so I kind of updated you up till to now.
I know, so nothing.
But I guess it's significant that you did make me sign up for Seth Godin's.
That's right.
Bootstrappers Workshop.
That was a good segue.
Yeah, it's a great segue to today's guest.
Seth Godin has a new initiative.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bootstrapper. What is it called?
Bootstrappers Workshop.
Bootstrappers Workshop that begins today.
Yeah.
Did you get any emails from them?
I'm getting emails. Yeah, a lot of emails.
Day.
Yeah. People are already interacting with me. Yeah.
Your favorite things.
It's already happening.
So why is it important for you to bootstrap?
I guess I'll find out. I'll learn.
No, because you've had several ventures. You're working on a podcast right now that's been going on for a while, but it's still in your mind. You're still learning and it's still not fully formed.
Right. Trying to figure out the direction it's going to go.
Right. So that would be good learning
to
from
learn.
This in order to help that grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's important to you, right?
Yes, of course. And apply it to Business Radio X too.
That's a bonus for us, but it's all about you.
Thanks. All about me.
Well, another fan of Seth is in the studio here.
Yeah, she is.
A good friend of mine, Bridget Cutshall, and she's with Gemini Media, and she has a new book out, Expecting the Good, Inspiration from a Badass with a Big Heart. Welcome, Bridget.
Thank you, Lee, for having me here. Nice to see you guys again.
Nice seeing you, as always. This book is a little bit of a departure from your other books, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
A little more personal, maybe?
Yes, it is.
Tell us about the book. What inspired you?
Well, it's about my stepfather, and I thought I would... That's not something, a subject I'd ever write about. But he passed away suddenly in 2016, and... After he passed, we learned so much about him. He was in military, a West Point graduate, and I just thought I had to share his story because a lot of these guys don't do that.
Right.
They're very humble. They don't do that, and I didn't realize, I should say that, but how much of an impact he had on us as a family.
And then as you started kind of doing some research in this, did you realize the impact he had on others as well? Was that surprising? Yeah.
It wasn't surprising. He's very consistent. All the feedback I got was very consistent. He always still looked like, he didn't look like a military officer. He was very casual, mm-hmm. if that's the right word.
Right.
But he was very, very, very generous. And no matter what your rank was, that's what the feedback I got. He didn't judge you. He treated you as an equal.
And in the military, he achieved quite a bit, right?
He did. He grew up around the military, just like I did.
He was French, right?
Correct. What's really kind of funny, my mother's French, and my real father was a Vietnam veteran, whatever. He brought her back to the United States.
Uh-huh.
We joke about that. And then I'm a Vietnam baby. I had my brother first. But then my stepfather, obviously didn't know him. He was born in France, so he's a naturalized citizen there. And then his mother met an American soldier back after World War II.
So deja vu all over again.
Right. It's all day. So he, when they brought him to the U.S., he was
How
raised.
How old was he?
Six.
Oh, so
he was really young. Right. And so they raised him as an American.
Right.
So he had dual citizenship. And mentioned this in the book. I didn't know this is how I met my mother when he was stationed over in Europe after graduating from West Point and Special Forces training. He volunteered to go over to help with some Special Forces training in France mm-hmm. when he got to the border.
Did he speak French? Was there anything?
Yeah, a little bit. His mother, my grandmother, I guess you call her, she was French and she spoke pretty good French.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of why I think maybe the attraction with my mom,
right.
French woman, right, living in the United States. So it's kind of cool. He got arrested in France because he was listed as a draft dodger.
Oh, because he was a French citizen. And they're like, where are you, guy? It's time to...
But he didn't know. His parents, his mother didn't think about that.
Right.
But he was 6 years old, but so he got out of it. The U.S. Embassy stepped in. And helped, and then he had to do some translation paper, with the government of France, and that's how I met my mother.
And because of that? Because of being arrested was the catalyst?
Isn't that hilarious? I never knew all this stuff. And because he was stationed back in the United States, Fort Benning, where my mom was working, and she's, you know, fluent in French, so they gave him options to help someone help him translate, because he wanted to make sure he answered the government paperwork properly.
Because he didn't speak that. Like, he knew the language, but he couldn't.
But reading and writing is different. Correct. And so she helped him, and then that's kind of how they...
That's how they met.
Through, because he got arrested.
But if he didn't get arrested, they would not have met.
Right. And
that's what's crazy,
It's like the first West Pointer for being a draft dodger in the country of France.
So I'm sure the guys probably... That's a good teasing moment, right?
Yes.
My mom there's a lot of teasing amongst the military, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
You got to know a lot of military folks by researching this?
Yes, I was surprised. I shouldn't say surprised. Well, we met a lot of his West Point cadets. They're in the same company. 15 of them came to his funeral.
Wow.
Right. And they
this
just...
This is after...
After, right. He had this 40th... They had their 40th anniversary or reunion about 5 months before he died at West Point. And so then maybe, you know, they're all like, how can this be? Because he was very much in shape and always working out. But he was obsessed with that. I kind of joked about that, but he really was. And that's one thing that he and I liked to do together was run, which I think is, he really was really tall. So I had sometimes a hard time keeping up with him. But yeah, they were just really, they just loved John Luke. So, and they wanted to help me out. And I just asked, hey, can you tell me some stories? And I just the idea popped up when I was looking at pictures and having him talking to one of my sons on the beach, and he was always giving advice. I'm like, this man made a lot of impact, not just on my family. So that's why I wanted to learn more.
So now, when did he become your stepfather? How old were you at the time?
I met him when I just turned 16.
A great time to meet another authority figure, right?
And then they married when I was 17, so it was about a year. So I kind of had an attitude.
Well, you were a teenager. You were just probably a teenager.
And my parents had been divorced. I don't know how long, you know. They got divorced, so you have an attitude anyway. And like, who is this? But he didn't. My mom didn't introduce us until maybe, I mean, the divorce was going on for probably almost a year.
Right.
So after it was finalized, maybe 3 months later, my mom brought him to town to meet me. I was at my friend's house. Staying the weekend because my dad was deer hunting, deer hunting. And
your biological dad.
It's complicated.
My
adopted father. I'm a military brat. My mom's married to 3 military guys. So the one that raised me was one that adopted me. I was like 6. So he went hunting, and then my mom showed up at my friend's house. I was staying for the weekend with some big, tall guy. Like, oh, great.
And this was the first time you've... Did you hear his name? Like, you knew she was dating some guy? Or this was, like, totally out of the blue?
Well, I knew she was dating, but she didn't even tell me anybody's name, you know?
Until it got kind of serious, probably.
Probably, right. And I was just kind of like, oh, my God, you got your boyfriend on my friend's porch? You know, that's...
Like, embarrassing me. Here, why are you...
Yeah, right. And we were too busy focused on... That's when MTV came out, too.
Oh, MTV.
I was obsessed. So you interrupted my MTV.
That's binge-watching began right there.
When you're 16, don't mess with me. So, I mean, I wasn't rude to him, but I was just like, oh, gosh. You know, that's what I thought. Because it was just, you know, you're 16 and you're having a hard time dealing with a lot of stuff anyway.
So were there lessons, like, when he died suddenly, you probably realized, or I'll ask, did you realize... The impact, like, was this one of those things where, well, he's a great guy, I appreciate him, but, you know, he's there all the time, so you don't really kind of take the time to appreciate it, or were you always appreciative of the impact?
I was always appreciative, but it would really hit home, like, holy cow, he's the one that, because I'm really, if you think from a broken family, it's really what it is, and so he kind of made it normal, I should say normal, I would, you know, like I said, multiple dads.
Right.
And... I never really knew my real dad.
Right. So there was a lot of chaos. And he brought some calm.
He calmed. He liked chaos, though, I think.
Well, he was like, what was he, a ranger or special for
you? He did it all. I mean, that man was into everything. I think between his first and second year at West Point, he did Ranger school training, which is unusual. So he was really young then, mm-hmm. which was down in Columbus, Georgia, or Fort Benning, I should say, which is where I was raised. But he did that and Special Forces training.
Chaos is not something he shies away from.
No, 82nd Airborne Commander. Right. I mean, he jumped out of airplanes, and so did my husband, by the way. But there, that was another story, too. He really, I knew just the way, you know, we met my future husband. He was really nice to him, too, because you know, you don't know. I brought boys home before and didn't go well. No, when you're around the military, they're very, which is, they should be, they're very protective of their daughters.
Right. That's a good thing. So now, as you wrote the book and you were getting input from his peers and friends and I guess extended family, right?
Exactly.
So did you learn more things? Did things surprise you? Did anything happen that you were like, wow, I didn't realize this happened?
I didn't really realize what went on in, like, Grenada. I didn't know all the details. Mm-hmm. Not many people know about what happened in Grenada.
Right.
I was a freshman in college when this happened. So he's not... My mom didn't know either what was going on. But, you know,
well, they know. Like, he would just be gone, right?
Yeah, they're gone. Poof. Goodbye. You know.
And then you don't know...
We don't know.
...where he is or
what
he's doing.
That's the downside of...
Of the military families, right.
Especially at his kind of expertise that he had.
Right.
So he ended up... It was his first time in combat, actually. It was an accident. Not an accident, but there are too many people involved with this Grenada invasion. They had, I think, the Air Force, the Marines went first, and then the Air Force is there, and the Army Rangers.
And Grenada's not that big.
It's not that big. It just was lack of communication, and they were, the Grenada military kind of gave up, and so this wasn't transmitted properly to, you know, so that's why this bombing happened, and this guy that his life that he saved, that I got to know eventually, his name is Harry Shaw. He was an enlisted guy in 82nd Airborne as well. So if my stepdad didn't question something, that guy would be dead, you know, because he had, it's kind of gross, but he had his legs blown off because he's looking out the window. Looking, you know, scouting or whatever you want to, looking for the planes. All of a sudden, this plane was coming, and it dropped. The artillery was dropped on the wrong building, and those Americans were in there. So after it was hit, a lot of people on the outside of the building were injured. My stepdad was there. Mm-hmm. He wasn't hurt. So they were attending to those people, and he said, shouldn't we go inside and check out?
To see if some...
And nobody... They were like, it's fine. So he went in, and that's when he found three people in there.
Wow.
And one of them is still alive, but one of them was... It's just amazing, this stuff that goes on. And it really was I learned that it was a lack of communication. It's really what happened. And that's what happens when...
A lot. I mean,
a lot, actually.
A chaotic situation, and you've got to make decisions very quickly,
right,
with less, not a lot of information.
No, and then it was kind of what I learned was that he just didn't think twice about it. He got another guy, pulled a medic in to help him fix the situation, I guess, and they got him on a naval ship. So I was connected to the guy that helped him on the naval ship. It was just... It's really kind of cool. And the other... thing I learned about was when he had to go to what country was it? He'd been to so many countries in Africa. Sorry, I learned why when he went to Chad, I was told to not tell anybody who my parents were if anything ever happened to them. I'm like, okay, that feels safe now. So this is like I was in my late 20s. So I learned that Chad was very, it's when, I shouldn't call it Islamic terrorism was going on. It's kind of when it started. So the guy that was in his role before him was killed. But he didn't want to tell me that, I'm sure. You couldn't communicate back then. We didn't really have, I think email just started back then, right? And we didn't have such thing as a cell phone. So we could only communicate by international mail. So that kind of was disturbing in a way. Don't tell the media who your parents are.
Right.
What are you guys doing?
Really?
I'm not telling anybody.
Exactly. I'll save it for a book later
on. Exactly.
So now for you at Gemini Media, what's your day job? What are you normally doing?
What I normally do is I help people.
It's around books and authors, right?
A little bit of everything, production management. I've been in the business a really long time. I've been an independent contractor for probably 15 years. And people need my help. And they don't want to go to just a one printer. They want, and a lot of people don't have the expertise in printing anymore. They don't understand it. There's a lot of steps involved. So I'll go step back. I did work for a corporate entity about 4 or 5 years ago, and they sold off my division to a private equity firm, and you know what happened?
Right. They
laid off a lot of people, right. Like Bridget. She's expensive.
But so you help a person through, if they have an idea, to get a book out in physical form.
They
right?
come to me, right, and I help with the project. I help if you need something overseas. It's not just books. I help with any kind of print-related matter.
Right, but you have a lot of experience with books.
Because my background is publishing.
And you've written books.
Yeah, my background is publishing and book printing.
So now this experience from doing it from this kind of a personal level, all that experience probably helped get the book, because it's a beautiful-looking book in your hand.
Right, I know what paper to use. Right.
Paper, font, colors, right?
People don't realize
it makes a difference.
And so I did get some help from people. I had to hire a designer. I'm not a designer.
Right.
And I had to hire an editor because, you know, I think I'm a good writer, but
always good to get fresh
you
eyes.
You have to have other sets right. of eyes look at it. And the one person that looked at it, she has background in editing for the military, because I'm going to make sure I'm writing
language,
things properly.
Right.
His language is properly, because I'm the child of a soldier, not in the military.
You got to get that right.
Mm-hmm.
So how has it been received amongst the military?
Really good. Everybody that has known him, they reached out to me and they cry every time we talk. It's because he was such a good person.
It's the impact.
The impact that he had on their lives, and they thought they liked the way I added some humor in there and made right. it kind of fun.
And human. It's humanized. Instead of just so is it something that now you've done the book, you're getting feedback, you're putting it out there, it's getting well received everywhere, right?
Like yes.
The military, isn't it like a top seller amongst military
books? Military families, right.
Right? That's an important thing.
I wasn't expecting that.
Right?
So it's exciting, yeah.
So now that goes to the impact. Here's now an impact you're making on mm-hmm. other people's lives.
Right.
So you're kind
right.
of paying that
I
forward,
guess,
right?
I guess that's true. Never thought of it that way.
Right? But that's a big deal, because mm-hmm. these people are suffering and struggling, and you've gone through a lot of these things,
right.
and they see that this is...
It's okay.
Right.
It's going to be okay.
Now, any lessons, if you were to boil down the lessons that your stepfather gave you and your family, what would they be?
Probably the first thing that comes to mind is to not overreact, not to react. That's a tendency, some people, to overreact to a situation, think it through. And he didn't judge people, which I think is important.
Right.
Because our brain just want to judge you for not being like me, right? So he was very open. I think that helped him from all the traveling he did internationally.
Right.
He saw so many different cultures and experienced that he was very open to that. And that's why I joke, you know, his special forces training came in handy, marrying my mom and had me and my sister.
You need a special force
exactly.
to deal with that, right?
And I have an older brother, but he was a college student, so it didn't affect him. But yeah, we all thought that he was just very... if like something happened to me or something, he would call me. He would not text you or, you know what I'm saying? He would call you personally. You get that. That's why people remember him. He really, truly reached out to people and would physically go there or call you on the phone.
And like human to human, not
yeah,
just.
That's what he believed in. And that's really, I think, why he made an impact.
So now, how did he feel about being born in France? Being of French, kind of being French in some ways, and then growing up in America, what was his feeling towards America?
He loved it. He's absolutely loved it. And I think because his father that raised him was in the military. He was a helicopter pilot in the Army. So he was around it, and he just... he's got a very positive nature to begin with, and I mm-hmm. think that helped.
Like optimistic.
Very optimistic.
No matter what the...
But realistic at the same time, you know what
right.
I'm saying? But he didn't... That's why I call it expecting the good, because he looked at a situation and was like, okay, how can we make this turn into a better situation? That's kind of how he
right.
looked at it, rather than reacting and making it worse.
Right. So now, is there... is the mindset of a military person, a mindset of a special forces person? Like, what? How would you kind of describe the mindset?
His mindset is probably more of the from the West Point.
Really? So West Point, you think,
had,
was...
Yeah, kind of, had the biggest thing. These guys, they call themselves the Long Gray Line. How they have honor and respect, and they all are very honorable. And just like the one guy that helped me do the tour, he didn't know me, but he helped me because my stepdad went there. You know, just out of the blue.
And because of that, it was non-negotiable then to help you, right?
I'm going to help you. Right. That's what it was. And they're all of these guys.
It's not. It's a black and white thing. It's not a shade of gray for them. If somebody's in need that went to West Point, I am there to help them.
Right.
Drop everything. Here I come.
Right. And then he went on to, because he likes excitement and chaos, that's why he went on to do the special forces
He was done in the military, yes, he was still involved.
He was doing international, he was an international security consultant, which is some dangerous stuff.
Right.
So we never really knew where he was. So it was kind of cool and weird at the same time.
Now, when you have that uncertainty, how does that weigh on you mentally? Like, is that just something like you're like, he'll be okay because he's always okay and he's kind of like a Superman?
Well, I did worry about him, and I think probably more, not as much as my mother because she was married to him, but he taught us to stay busy. Does that make sense? And that's what I learned from him, to stay. Maybe people make fun of me. I'm always got to do stuff. I was taught to stay busy because, I mean, then you want to relax. He believed in that, having vacation. But he just... do how you can make an impact, find a way that you can make an impact. And so he got my mom, so she wouldn't be so sad when he was traveling. Got her involved with her PhD. I mean, that was really amazing.
So he was supportive of her and
pushed her
and said, hey, I want you to do this.
Smart.
You can do this. You can do this.
Correct. He helped her. He had a huge impact on her because she said to me after he died, she felt her life was like jaded, you know, because of the did two divorces beforehand. But there's the situation is so, you know, being married, it's very common in the military. Those families do break up a lot.
Right.
Divorces.
I mean, the stress is just through
very
the roof.
Very stressful.
Right. And uncertainty, and mm-hmm. you don't see each other for months at a time. I mean, that puts
you
so much
communicate,
strain.
Right.
Right.
And
I mean, it's hard enough just to be with the person that's in the same room, you know, every night.
Right. And that's what, so he was just so, I don't know, just, push you. You can do better, Bridget. Or, you know, he wouldn't say it that way. But.
Right. But you can just believe in yourself. I see so much more in you than maybe you see.
Correct. That's what he would tell us. And, you know, push you to think differently. And I never really, you know, talking about him, just like, holy cow, he really had a huge, and I really think he helped us. My brother and sister and I have a better relationship with our mother. Because of that, because we were also mad at that.
Right, exactly. It was all together.
But it
was common enemy.
But we didn't know
right.
what went on. We just, you know, but that's your reaction.
Did so growing up in a military environment, and then you married a military person.
Yeah,
so
that was
like,
funny.
You're all in with the military, right?
I hated military guys, because I never saw my dad. I never saw that. And then the dad that adopted me, which is hilarious, I went off to college. He says, don't you dare come back.
With the military?
The military guy. And what did I do? I went off.
I'll show him.
That's probably what I did.
It's like, now I'm going to hang out and find a military
guy. I'm stubborn. No. I went off to college and I ended up, we just met at a party. It's one of those weird things.
So it wasn't even, weren't even looking.
No, it wasn't planned. And he just got back from, he's about 6 months older than me, back from Egypt. And this guy that I worked with, I went to school at Campbell University at the time, which is by Fort Bragg. I had to think about which one it was, by Fort Bragg. So you're going to have military guys
right,
that are
sprinkled
out,
around.
Sprinkled around. Right, right. He was one of those guys that came with another guy at this party.
But he wasn't like in, there was no.
No, I could tell with his haircut.
Right. That was a clue.
It's like, oh, but he was really tall. Caught my eye when I walked in. So the reason that, you know, he's one of those guys too. He's just, they naturally want to help and protect people. He was one of those as well.
Right.
And that's why I think my stepdad and he got along. But I did bring him home to meet my adoptive father, and I was scared, you know, because he told me not to.
Right.
But it worked out just fine. And they all like him. My husband's very, got good diplomatic skills too. You have to.
Right.
My family.
So now, what's been the impact on your kids? You know, their grandfather dying, and then now this book that kind of opens probably, it was new, a lot of news in that book for you, so it must have been for them as well.
Yeah, they weren't really surprised. He became, when he retired from the military, he installed himself as their leader, you know, grandpa.
So, but that's a different role, a civilian, and then
and
a grandfather.
And he wanted to make sure they're prepared for the future.
Did he have biological children?
No, he did not.
So then everybody, wow, and
right, that's what's so amazing. I'm not sure, his sisters, how many, I think he has two sisters, and I think they have two or three kids. One of them lives in Alaska, so you're not going to see her very much, right? And the other one lives in Alabama, but her kids, I think she's got three. I didn't really see them very much, and he just never, I think because he married my mom, was older, not that much older, but older, and I don't know if they tried to have kids, but they didn't have their own, he did not, and I have his own biological children. I think that's why he took in the grandkids so much to have an impact. But he would tell them, you know, how to treat women properly and how to treat everybody with respect. And
he role modeled that behavior. It wasn't just somebody saying this and then getting drunk and abusive over here.
No,
and then
he
walked the walk.
Great role model. And just like right the week before he died, he would obsessed about coming to their sporting events. He absolutely loved it.
Right.
And he was there all the time as much as he could. And the week before he died, he was at my nephew's one of his baseball games. He was a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother's other son, his car broke down. And so they were supposed to go home. My mom and my stepdad was supposed to go home after the baseball game. When they learned about Eric's car,
somebody's in need.
I have to help. That's what he does. I have to go help. And I don't know if they stayed. I don't know that I wasn't there. If they stayed another night, but it was difficult on my son Jacob and my brother's son Ryan because he died 2 months before they graduated high school.
Wow.
And that was because they loved Grandpa. He was just such a, like, you know, he was very athletic even in his older age. And
I mean, he wasn't that old.
64.
Right. I mean,
he really wasn't. And so they were just sad that they couldn't have, Grandpa couldn't see them. He watched, right. He saw the other, yeah. The right. Three older grandsons graduate. So, but that, you know, he was there, like I always said, in spirit, but he was just always giving financial advice, you know, just making sure they didn't, you know, he knows they're going to make mistakes.
Right, but he wants to kind of give them a little edge here and there to hope that they don't have to make so many mistakes, you know.
Exactly, and learn from them, right.
Now, having written books for your business and business-oriented books and then having written this more personal book, any advice for that person out there? Because we have business people come in here all the time that have written books for business and nonfiction books like that. This is more personal. Was there any difference in the writing process when it was more personal as opposed to, okay, I got to outline this, I'm going to hit these 10 points, bam, bam, bam.
It was, I don't know, it was more like, do I share that? Or there's some
Those are the questions you were
correct,
having.
Correct, right, because some of the stuff that he did do, I couldn't share.
Right.
But is it, does that benefit to the story? That's why.
So you had a story arc? Right, that you wanted to kind of show his life.
Yeah, that's kind of like, do I show, you know, leadership stuff? But he kind of built it in into his own.
It's just woven through.
It was woven through is what it is. I didn't want to stick to one leadership thing, but his was like a silent leader. That's kind of how I saw him, because he showed by example. He did not, and he was not afraid to make changes if he needed to.
Right.
He took criticism, I should say criticism is the wrong word, feedback properly.
Right.
He didn't.
He
get
was
offended.
Coachable. He didn't personally.
He did not get offended.
Right.
So what I did when I laid it out, I had talked multiple times, I kind of tweaked it because I'm like, is this too personal? Is it too,
right?
You know, I asked people what they wanted to hear, and people want to hear more of the personal stuff.
Right.
Because there's so many books out there already about badasses and blah, 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 blah. But what is it at home like for them?
Right. Because your perspective is the child's perspective of this.
Correct. I was the one that poked him. I was kidding. from the child perspective, even though I was 16, 17 at the time. He took me in. He he didn't wasn't making a lot of money when he married. You know, a captain back then wasn't making much money. He even took me in and bought me a car, you know.
Right.
So.
Because you needed something.
I needed a car. I needed a vehicle.
So I got
to
provide.
And that's what he did.
Right.
And my mom probably, you know, I don't know how much influence she had on that, but I don't know. But he came to my graduation from high school, you know, which is kind of cool.
So now for you, now that the book's out there, this is what you've been working on. But like you said, you like to be busy. So you're probably doing five other projects simultaneously.
Not too much. I have my customers' projects too, not just mine. It's not just.
So you were doing this on the side. This wasn't in.
It took me longer than I, you know, expected to get this done just because life gets in the way.
Sure.
And then I want to make sure I'm getting the right story out there. From my perspective, and like right now, it's been recommended I do an audio version of this, so I'm going to do that. So I have to get the right microphone like this at home.
In here.
But do it at home because some people they want to just hear
it
while they're driving or whatever. And I never even thought about that because I'm a reader. So I'm like, yeah, okay. So I'll do that. I'm going to do that and. I don't know. My mom's like, I'm pretty sure you're going to do another one eventually. So that's what she thinks. She likes the fact that I, you know, I've always been this way, though. Even when I was young, my brother was into sports, and I would write a newspaper for our house, and I would tape it to his door. I don't know why I was just like that. I like to, but that's kind of probably why I got pulled into the printing and the book publishing, because I like telling, being part of the story. Somehow.
Now, if somebody wanted to work with you, and if they have a book, or you can help them through the whole process, right?
Correct.
From even the idea to get it down on paper,
yes.
To give them some structure to help them eventually get it printed and where they're holding it in their hands.
Yes.
Right? That's part of what you do.
Correct. Majority of my stuff is managing the projects.
Right.
So they come to me and where do they need help? And so I find out where.
And you can point them to the right resources.
If I can't help them.
Right.
Correct.
And that's what you like to do, right?
I kind of like, my stepdad, I can help you, but you can go over there. I'm kidding. Joking. Sorry.
They can go over there, but that might be the best solution for
them. Right. It just depends on my time available, because I try not to overdo it.
Right.
Because I don't want to mess things up. You know.
Right. Well, you want them to have the outcome they desire.
Correct. And that's kind of how one of my larger clients, he was referred to me by a distributor in Chicago, you know, so I've known in that industry. So I helped him. His books were falling apart. He was not using the right. I mean, that makes him look bad.
Right.
And a lot of times you're just got to look at just the details, the type of binding, you know, I know that sounds weird, but it's very important.
But all that matters.
It does matter.
Especially a lot of these people make these books because they want to be out there as an expert and a trusted advisor.
And then
their book falls apart. What kind of message are you sending? It doesn't matter what the words are at that point.
Right. And that's kind of what helped you gain even more respect. This guy is like, oh, she knows what she's doing.
Exactly.
So, and it's because of I did a lot of hard work over there. I mean, just different roles. And so I'm taking that and merging it into one, if that makes sense. And that's kind of why I don't know why I came up with the name Gemini Media. I guess because I was born in June.
You're Gemini.
That's why
probably
like,
that.
They're like, you need a name. I'm like, okay. That's kind of what happened when I was talking to the attorney guy. I'm like, I don't know. And I like the word media because it could be not just.
Right. It's not just print.
It could be bigger than that. I do help people. Yeah, you know, on websites too.
Right.
They want to customize. I mean, I don't do it, but I help manage the project. So I know where to go.
Now, if somebody's in the military or has a member of the family in the military and want to get a hold of the book, Expecting the Good, Inspiration from a Badass with a Big Heart, where can they go for that?
They can, right now it's just on Amazon, or they can get it from me. You can go to my website. I don't think you have to spell it out. BRIGITTECUTSHALL.com, BridgetCutchall.com. And there's a page for a contact page.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a books page too. So some people want to have multiple copies and I'll give them a discount.
Oh.
You know, whereas Amazon, you got to pay the full price.
Right.
I need to, I didn't know. I didn't want to do too much buying for me directly just because you've got fulfillment involved.
Right.
And
you want to be shipping books out of your garage.
Right, and I've looked at doing it through a distributor, but there's just...
Then you got to buy so many.
There's so many pros and cons. Right. And so I'm using right now, getting good feedback, mm-hmm. and I'm going to have another printing coming up soon, making tweaks where, you know, it doesn't matter how many people look at it. You find like, oh, there's a boo-boo there, you know.
Right.
But that's the way life is.
And so they can go to Amazon and just type in the good or your name.
My name would be probably, I don't know if there's another book out there with the title, right. but it's better to
type in your name in Amazon and then they can go from there.
Correct.
Well, Bridget, thank you so much for sharing your story and your stepfather's story. It's an amazing book and it really does capture his spirit and military people that are out there and listening. The impact you're having on other people is not something you should take for granted because it is happening whether you're aware of it or not. You know, there's a lot of ripples in the lake, you know, from your being a part of this planet. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.